Hi, welcome to the Sam Welding Podcast, where I look behind the scenes at writing books and songs. I hope to look at the whole process, from the creative spark to the final customer reaction. With a stormy Christmas and nauseous New Year under my belt, I now look forward to getting on with the many jobs in hand in 2015. New songs continue to spill free, and a renewed focus on Talisman, my children's fantasy novel, is now underway. Cover designers are talking about which monster to feature on the front cover and what colour should be dominant on the sleeve. So things are heating up. Now that book one is basically in production, it's time for me to revisit book two, Citadel, and make sure that it's on the right track. I need to check on the prologue and make sure there's a high level of continuity and consistency. I find that the cover design is one of the most exciting stages in the development of a new book. A new baby, if you like. It's superficial, but it feels like a bit like Christmas when you first open the mock cover up in the PDF. You don't want people to think you have an ugly baby. You want to be pleasantly surprised, shocked at how good it will look on the shelf or on Amazon. No pressure. Still, it signals the final process and a long and difficult labour. If anyone asks me what attributes you need to be an author, I always say determination and patience. Assuming you have the right amount of imagination and creativity and that you can string your thoughts together in a fairly coherent way, it is the ability to doggedly stay with a book to the very end and then endure the inordinate amount of waiting and delay that will follow a successful submission. Especially if you are stubborn and a bullish terrine like me. After the expulsion of your newly written book from your now tired and cluttered mind, it's the submission time, the editing time, the wait after that for the right cover designers, and then the ultimate marketing opportunity that can bring even the most rational writer to their knees. You end up becoming a nag, a pest, a chip away, firing out emails and calls to your publisher just to make sure they know you're still alive. All this can take up to 18 months or longer, but you know in your heart that it's all for the best. You can't rush any of that stuff. If you do, it could result in disaster, so you just chip away, as politely and sporadically as you can bear. Apart from the whole inane filtering process of getting a book published, I believe it's a loss of control that drives many writers into self-publishing. At least you can follow your own schedule, pay an editor, a cover designer, and get a date set for release that isn't in the next millennium. But there's a catch. You can produce the most beautiful book with the most interesting, well-written story ever told, if you're lucky. But who is going to find it? Who is going to flick through a million new books on Amazon and spot it? How is it ever going to break into that top 20 set of books that adorn the best sellers' shelves of W.H. Smith or Waterstones? Who's going to review it? Who is going to get it discussed on the radio, featured in a magazine or newspaper? Why would anyone pick it up, ask for it specially, nag their local bookshop, demand it that feature in the next book festival? Don't get me wrong. I've talked my way into Waterstone stocking my new book, barged into a festival office and pestered for a place on the platform, paid for websites to have my details on there for school visits and libraries, push the ebook version for the next to nothing to get it up the charts. But you lose the energy eventually. You need help. You want someone to say, we can do that, and we'll pay you for doing it. Marketing and distribution are still key. After that, if the book is good enough, word of mouth will help. What you really want, however, from a commercial perspective, and I realise that even talking like this will put many scribes off me, is a trending book, a book that kids chatter about, a series they want to collect, an ongoing story that's too good to miss or too uncool not to know about. A film or merchandise will give a book exponential growth, and in a way it's difficult to break out of mediocre sales unless you get a film or TV deal. But it's possible. Until I get that call from a publisher or agent that says, we've just sold the rights to Disney, I'll have to rely on the old slog. Like many early bands that eventually made it big, I'll do the gigs, put in the time. The small schools, the bigger schools, the libraries, the festivals, the book signings and the social media stuff, which, by the way, I still need to get much better at. In such a cluttered and crowded market as we have today, it gets harder and harder to stand up and stand out. If anyone has any other ideas, please send them in. But then again, why would you? It might be the one piece of info you have over the million other budding authors out there. And then there's luck. Yes, you can buy a lottery ticket and hope for the best. Or you can do lots of stuff, make lots of noise, be seen in the right places by the right people. I tend to fish. Rather than cast one line and hope the big fish will bite it, I keep making new rods, mainly from one back, and then continue to keep casting more and more lines and more rivers. Who knows if it'll work? But I certainly don't want to stick my new book, my new baby, in the drawer and hope for the best. Anyway, as I always say, if you keep tuning in, I'll keep turning up, or tuning up even. All the best for now.